So we're continuing our reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are today in chapter 14, which is entitled The Forest of Material Enjoyment. Yes? And I believe today's text is 41. Now, it's not on the board because it's in a longer prose form, so I will just read it myself and then we'll do the translation. Karma balim avalambya tata apadak katanchin narakad vimuktaha punarapyevam sangsara dhani vartamano naralokasartam upayati evam uparigatopi. Srila Prabhupada's translation. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activity, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions. But, unfortunately, he cannot remain there. After reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. Now, do we read a translation in English and in Slovenian, or just read it in Slovenian, or? They're simultaneously reading, okay. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport for this verse. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. And this is found in the Madhyalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 19, text 151. Even if one wanders for many millions of years, and that's wanders as in going around, not wonders as in thinking. English is kind of weird like that. Some words sound alike. So, even if one wanders for many millions of years from the time of creation until the time of annihilation, one cannot get free from the path of material existence unless one receives shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. As a monkey takes shelter of the branch of a banyan tree and thinks he is enjoying, the conditioned soul, not knowing the real interest of his life, takes shelter of the path of karmakanda, fruitive activities. Sometimes he is elevated to the heavenly planets by such activities, and sometimes he again descends to earth. This is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Brahmanda Brahmite. However, if by Krishna's grace one is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of the Guru, by the mercy of Krishna he receives lessons on how to execute devotional service to the Supreme Lord. In this way, he receives a clue of how to get out of his continuous struggle up and down within the material world. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one should approach a spiritual master. The Vedas declare, Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva bhikachet. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Tad vidhi paripatena pariprasthena sevaya uparikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 21, gives similar advice. Tasmad gurum papadeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde pare chanishnatam brahman yupai samashriyam. Which means, any person who seriously desires to achieve real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of his spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. So that's the end of the translation. Prabhupada continues, similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti, a great Vaishnava, also advises, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. This is the same advice given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bhija. This is essential. One must come to Krishna consciousness, and therefore one must take shelter of a pure devotee. Thus, one can become free from the clutches of matter. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Shivati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashacharishtarne Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kancha Nagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubya Shah Kripa Sindhu Mevacha Patitanang Pavane Pyo Vaishnavi Pyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gorbhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So last night we were discussing the very pertinent topic of the fact that Srila Prabhupada's disciples are disappearing one by one. And the day will come when this movement will be completely in your hands, the second generation. And I was advising last night that we should make a vow to keep Srila Prabhupada in his movement. In other words, just as Srila Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as it is, you have to present Srila Prabhupada as he is. Not as we would like him to be with a few changes or... No. No. Prabhupada as he is, uncensored, unchanged. So, this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam is one of those areas where you must present Srila Prabhupada as he is. Exactly what he says. If you read the chapter summary to this chapter 14, The Forest of Material Enjoyment, Srila Prabhupada says some very heavy things there. The government, they're like rakshasas and owls. So most people don't want to hear this. They're wondering, where is this person coming from? How could he speak like this? Why? Because they are completely fixed in this materialistic consciousness. And therefore, anything that disturbs that consciousness is disturbing to them. They don't like it. But this is exactly what the conditioned soul needs to hear. That this material world is not a place for us to try to enjoy. It is not our home. Srila Prabhupada, more than 1,000 times, if you search on the database, use that phrase, back to home, back to Godhead. We should become serious about going back to home, back to Godhead. This is not our home. We don't belong here. And all of our pitiable attempts at enjoyment are always smashed. It's a foregone conclusion. No matter what you achieve in this material world, in this lifetime, how high you climb up the material socioeconomic ladder, it's going to be taken away. The end of the game, the end of the story is already known for every single person on this planet. Beginning with the big leaders like Mr. Trump in America and Mr. Putin in Russia, to the most insignificant creature, ant, germ, worm. End is the same. Body will be taken. No, actually, the body remains. You're taken away from the body. You see? The body remains. And that's why we say to people who they don't believe in the soul, existence of the soul, but when the mother dies or the father dies, they inevitably say, my father is gone. My mother is gone. What do you mean gone? The body's there. That body you were calling mother, father for so many years is still lying there. Why do you say mother is gone, father is gone? So at the time of death, intrinsically, even the atheists, they know. Something has left. Something has departed. Now, what is the nature of that something? That is where the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedic literature come in. They give a very clear understanding of the nature of the soul and the nature of the Supreme Soul. So this is Sambandha Gyan. We have to begin there, understanding clearly who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with God, how we can revive that relationship. And that's for our benefit. It's not that Krishna is hanging around in a grove of Vrindavan just wondering, why can't I have one more coward boy to play with? Or no, Krishna's enjoying. Anandamaya Vyasa, he's always enjoying. If we want to stay here forever, Krishna will allow us. So by hearing this Sambhadagyan, we're supposed to reawaken the desire to get out of here, to get out of this illusory existence, this forest of material enjoyment, wherein we think, just like it's stated in the chapter summary, that a merchant goes into the forest and he collects some wood or earth or whatever and then brings it to the city to be sold. So in this way, people become rich. Once there was a very wealthy person in India came to see Prabhupada in Mayapur. Yeah, I believe it was in Mayapur. And so Prabhupada asked him, what do you do? Oh, I manufacture and sell glass. Prabhupada said, oh, so where does glass come from? Glass is made from silica. And where does silica come from? Silica is made from sand. And where does sand come from? yes, it's Krishna sand. So he said, you're a thief. You're taking Krishna sand, you're making it into glass, and you're selling it, and now you're supposedly a wealthy person. You see? And that's, you're stealing from Krishna. So we should really take that to heart. Whatever we have already actually is Krishna's property, and whatever we're aspiring to get, it's also Krishna's property. So the real mentality to develop is, what should I do with Krishna's property so that Krishna will be pleased? As Prabhupada said, we're not enemies of technologies, Prabhupada said. We don't hate technology. We're just advising that you use technology properly. No matter what that technology is. It could be rudimentary technology, like in the old days, they used to take a hammer and beat the metal until it came to the shape they wanted. Now they have fancy machines for doing that. They have all kinds of computer-aided design and manufacturing. It's the same goal, though. You're going to make something that can be used, has some utility to human beings. But ultimately, it should be used in Krishna service, because the raw material to make the manufacturing process, the more raw material to make the product, the intelligence to put it all together, that is all coming from Krishna. So we should acknowledge that. We should acknowledge that. And this is what people have forgotten. They don't feel grateful to God because they don't see the connection between everything that they have, everything that they want, and the Supreme Being. And if they believe in God, the vast majority of them simply go to God to ask for something more. Yes, my Lord, I already have a nice Volkswagen, but I'd like to drive a Mercedes. Please give me a better job, or, you know, if you can't put the Mercedes under my Christmas tree, at least give me a better job so I can earn the money to buy the Mercedes. You see? So God becomes just our order supplier. But Prabhupada many, many times said, Krishna, God is not your order supplier. He is meant to give you orders. And you're supposed to follow those, carry out those orders. And he actually does. Prabhupada said, when Krishna came in his original form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, 5,000 years ago, he gave orders. Sarvadhamma Pratyaja, Mame Kam Sharanam. Ahang Tang Sarvadhamma. Surrender to me and you'll be happy. If you don't want, okay, fine. But he's God, Krishna says. I mean, Prabhupada said, he has to order. But because we're so foolish and we're wondering, who is this Krishna? Why is he ordering me? That's too difficult. Then he comes again in the Kali Yuga immediately following his departure as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself who's come to teach us how to become devotees of Krishna. So he stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But in the right mood of Vairaga Vidya. The mantra is like medicine. It will act whether one knows how it works or not. Many of us are taking medicine or will take medicine or have taken medicine in the past. And generally speaking, you don't understand chemically what's happening when you put that medication in your body. You just have faith. Somebody prescribed it, some doctor. So you put it in your mouth, you take it. And generally the effect is there, so you feel confident. Yes, I should take more of it. It works. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is like that. Whether people know or they don't know, it will act. But for those of us who are supposed to be delivering the mantra to the public on behalf of our spiritual masters, then we should try to understand what is going on here. Why is it that the Hare Krishna mantra has this effect? So the prime answer is that because it's non-different from the Supreme Lord himself. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nityamukto Abhinatvam Nama Namino. This Hare Krishna mantra is Krishna himself in sound vibration form, in the form of sound vibration. Purna, complete, just like Swayam Bhagavan Krishna himself is complete, therefore he's Atmarama. He's self-satisfied because he doesn't need to go to the store to buy anything. He doesn't need anybody to give him anything. He's complete in himself. So similarly, the holy name is complete in and of itself. Himself. Doesn't require any other accoutrements or help. The holy name is completely sufficiently potent to deliver everyone in whatever condition of life they may be. So purna, complete. Shuddha, it's pure. Holy name is pure. Everything in this material world is contaminated and requires purification. But people don't know that. Sometimes in a restaurant, just out of habit, they touch something, they lick their fingers, and then they want to touch the serving spoons again. And then if you correct them, they get upset because they don't understand that their mouth is contaminated. So once you touch your mouth, you shouldn't touch anything else. You should wash your hands. Simple hygiene people don't understand because they think it's me. So I'm all right. If I lick my fingers and touch something, so what? They don't understand basic hygiene, that the body is contaminated. Therefore, we have to wash it constantly. And everything that's inside the body, when it comes out, it's contaminated. Everything that comes out of this body is contaminated, except for the words can be pure. We can be trained to speak pure words. But without that training, even the words that come out are contaminating and contaminates each other. We contaminate each other with our conversation. So, this Krishna consciousness is a science. A vast science. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Rupa Goswami, begun by saying that the science of Krishna is like a vast ocean, unlimited. I am going to give you just a drop from that ocean. And we see, we are supposed to be Rupa Nugas, learning everything that Srila Rupa Goswami taught, as it has come down in the disciplic succession through Srila Prabhupada. And there's no end to it. You could spend your whole life reading Srila Prabhupada's books and never come to the end. And even if you think, well, I've read every single book that was directly written by Srila Prabhupada, you read it again and you get more and more and more out of it. It's an unlimited ocean of knowledge. So the science of bhakti is like that. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. So in this portion of the Bhagavatam, we're being reminded, it's very interesting that Maharaj Parikshit, he only had 7 days to live. Shukadeva Goswami have to take the time to explain these things to him? Why not just go straight to the pastimes of Krishna? So it just proves to us that these verses of the fifth canto are legitimately in place, waiting and ready to grab a sinful person to take to Yamaraj to be judged. And then they were stopped. So they were shocked. So when they went before Yamaraj, they were confused and they asked him, is there some authority higher than you, our master? How is it possible that they could have prevented us from doing our job? So, Yamaraj explained to them that you should not approach anyone who's a devotee of Vishnu, and anyone who chants Vishnu's name is a devotee of Vishnu. He said, even once chanting, very nice verse there in that section, Agyanad Atava Gyanad Uttama Shloka Namayat Sankirtitim Agang Pungso Dahed Edyo Yatanala. He says, just as a fire can consume any amount of fuel that you put into it, it'll just keep burning it up, burning it up. Similarly, if one chants the holy name of Krishna, Agyanad, which means Agyana, with no knowledge, Atava Gyanad, or with knowledge. In other words, again, if you understand what's going on or if you don't understand, doesn't matter. If you chant, all of the reactions to your sins will be burned up. But Prabhupada warned us, don't take this as a license. That, now I have the secret. I can do anything I want and just chant Hare Krishna and it will be counteracted. No. This is one of the offenses. This is the seventh offense to the holy name. Namno balad yasa hi papa budhi. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. Very, very bad to do that. Don't do it. Because what happens is, Krishna as a super soul, he knows our mentality. If we're trying to use the holy name in that way, we'll find that gradually we lose the taste for chanting. Krishna will not allow us to get away with that. we gradually lose our taste for chanting and we will stop chanting. Cannot use the holy name as a medication for counteracting our sinful activities. That's not what it's meant for. So, Yamaraj explained again that the chanting of the holy name is the dharma, the religious activity for this age. And etava and evalokesmin, pungsa dharma paraksmita, bhakti yoga bhagavati. This bhakti yoga process beginning with the chanting of the holy name is the recommended process for spiritual realization in this age. So anybody who has taken that process seriously and sincerely does not have to worry about death. And that lecture Prabhupada was saying, as soon as you're initiated, as this purport today was saying, you have to take shelter of a guru, spiritual master. So Prabhupada said in that lecture, as soon as you are initiated, you are actually liberated. As long as you don't fall down again. And even if you fall down, this path is so beautiful. This path is so wonderful that you will be given an opportunity to continue, at least in the human form. Shuchinam Shimatam Gehe, Yoga Brashti quoted that verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Now this path is so nice that even if we fall down, we will be given an opportunity to carry on. Jai Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaurinitai Ki Jai. But as far as possible, he said, you've taken these vows in front of the Guru, the deities, the fire. Don't fall down. Just stick to that, the path that you've agreed to, chanting minimum number of rounds, 16 rounds minimum, and following the four regulative principles, engaging in practical devotional service, and you're actually liberated. It may take some time for us to realize that we're liberated because we've been conditioned for so long, but Prabhupada said, you are liberated at that point. Your liberation is guaranteed. No more fear of Yamaraj, no more fear of death. So then he said, well, somebody may say, well, we see the devotees are also dying. So how can you say there's no more death for them? He said, yes. It's just a transition period. It's just like going to sleep. You put your body down. Sleep means you put this body down, you wake up in the same body. Death means you put this body down, you wake up in your spiritual body. If you're going directly to Godhead, or you may appear in some universe where Krishna's pastimes are going on. So this is the devotee situation. Nothing to be afraid of. Prabhupada also in that lecture, he gave the example of the cat. With the same mouth, the cat is catching the rat, and the rat, Prabhupada said, is going, chee, chee, chee. It's over. Death is here. But with the same mouth, the cat is picking up its kitten, and the kitten is just relaxed. No problem. Mommy's just taking me from here to there. So similarly, when the devotee dies, it's like that. Just a transition period. No fear involved. Just being taken from here to there. And the devotee is not at all concerned. So this is the gift that we've been given. The process of deathlessness. Everybody should be interested in that because everybody is afraid of dying. No matter how externally brave they may be, internally everybody's afraid of death. So we've been given this path of deathlessness. And we should be very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for convincing us to take to this path of deathlessness. And we should be eager to give it to others. Everybody needs this. It's not a question of rich or poor or black or white or male or female or young or old. Everybody needs this knowledge. As we were discussing last night, again, 2 million people in the country of Slovenia. And Prabhupada said once 10% becomes Krishna conscious in places like why 10%? 1%, he said. So we calculated 1% means 20,000 people. If you get 20,000 people to chant Hare Krishna regularly, this place will be like Vaikuntha. I know some people think it's already like Vaikuntha, but not necessarily. So Vaikuntha means, Vai means without, Kuntha means misery. So even though they may be loving their motherland or fatherland, I don't know what you want to call it here, they may be loving it, still there's some misery here, you have to admit. Ananta was telling me that he just came out of a very rough winter. So this is the case. You may think everything is wonderful, but the material nature may not agree with you. And she's very expert at cranking up the misery factor. Oh, you think you're happy? Okay. You're not disturbed by the traffic in Ljubljana? Okay, I can find something to disturb you. Mother Nature, Maya Devi, is expert Just when you think everything is going perfectly, something comes and crashes the party, literally. Not so long ago in the United States. Wedding party, people just got married, they're on their way to the reception. Nice limousine, they're cruising along the highway, and bam! Accident. The bride is killed, a couple of her friends are killed. So just like that, we're thinking everything is wonderful here. I have my nice Mercedes, I have a good job, I have very, very fast connection to the internet. We're thinking everything is wonderful. But no. Ayo harati vaipungsam udyan aschan sayarasam. Just by rising and setting, the sun is taking away everybody's life. Everybody's life. Whether they perceive it or they don't perceive it, it is happening. And unfortunately, the majority of people are going to go before Yamaraj and the outcome is not going to be good. Because as Prabhupada pointed out, that you may think a human being, Brahmana, is significant, or all the way up to Lord Brahma, a very significant person, and an ant is not significant. So what is the harm if I step on an ant? But he said from Krishna's perspective, they're all his children. The soul in the ant body, the soul in Brahma's body, they're all Krishna's children. So he's not seeing it that way. So for every ant that we step on, for every microbe that we breathe in and kill, or kill when we turn on fire or whatever, every single moment practically we're killing. And we're culpable. We're punishable for that killing. It's not that because this creature probably uses the example of the father and the children. One son may be earning millions of dollars and another son practically useless, not earning anything. So if the son who's earning millions says, Dad, just let me kill this guy, he's just useless. Will the father agree? No. The father has as much love for the so-called useless son as he does for the son that's earning billions of dollars. Both sons are significant to him. They're his children. So Krishna is like that. Everyone, all living entities, Mamaya Vangsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana, they're all Krishna's parts and parcels. We are all Krishna's parts and parcels. And therefore Krishna loves every one of us equally. He's not going to give us a license to kill those who don't seem to be very significant. So everybody practically in this material world goes before Yamaraj to be judged, and the outcome is not nice. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, as a soft-hearted Vaishnava, he asks, he says, how can the living entities be saved from this going to hell, of being judged by Yamaraj and going to hell? And that comes out in the beginning of the next canto. And that's the story of Ajamil. So, again, we've been very fortunate to come in contact with His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has given us the knowledge that we need to succeed in life. He's given us the organization that we need to apply that knowledge in a practical way. Because we all need the five potent forms of devotional service. We need to worship the deities. We need to chant Hare Krishna. We need to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. We need to associate with devotees. You see, we need all this. And so Prabhupada has given us all that in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So as I started out by saying, this movement is going to be yours very, very soon. Very, very soon. So what will you do with it? Will you continue the way Srila Prabhupada has instructed? Or will we wind up with ISKCON without Prabhupada, which will be very, very unfortunate? It's already begun. Again, people, they're reluctant to give people Bhagavad Gita because Prabhupada says some heavy things in there. Or to speak of this Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto. And so Prabhupada has given us exactly the medicine that we need. Exactly the medicine, exactly what we need to hear. And as we discussed last night, it's not ours to change. We're just like the postal peon. Whatever's been given to us, just like I just came from LA and Maharaj gets a lot of his mail at the BBT, so I didn't discriminate. Somebody gave me this pile of mail in Supralada and Swami, and I brought it and I gave it to him. That's it. I'm not going to say, well, you know, I don't think this is... No, I bring it and give it to him. Same thing. We take the books, we give it to them. And let whatever happens, happen. Some of them, sometimes they do like that. They read the book, and so they see something, and they close the book, and they don't want to read anymore. I had that happen recently. Was last year, I think, yeah? At our Rath Yatra, I was at the book table. And a very nice-looking young man, I'd say maybe mid-30s, tall, powerful looking, and but also very erudite. He had several degrees, and he was saying, you know, I've heard about you people, and I've always wanted to, which book do you think should be? So we went through some books, and he actually took Bhagavad Gita and a few others. And I gave him my contact information. And then a few weeks later, he called me, and he said, you know, I started reading the Bhagavad Gita, and I thought there was a lot of nice knowledge here, but then I came across some statements that, you know, I have a daughter, and I don't think I would want my daughter to read this. It seems to minimize the position of women, and, you know, thank you very much anyway, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to proceed anymore with this. Then a few months later, he called me again, and he had started reading again, because material energy, like I said, has a very good way of turning up the heat. So his life was falling apart, you know, his relationships were falling apart, and the job wasn't going and like that. So Maya gave him a reason to start reading Bhagavad Gita again, and he actually started coming to the temple in Govindas like that. So we are not responsible for what happens after we give it to somebody. You know, they'll read, some of them will immediately want to join, some of them will take some time, and some may be turned off by one thing they read in the books. That's not our, the super soul is there, Krishna is there. And now that this living entity has taken one step towards him, he will take 10 steps toward that person. And it will continue like that until they come back to their normal consciousness as eternal servants of Krishna. So my plea to you, the next generation of ISKCON, is don't change anything that Prabhupada has given. Same programs, the same books, everything. Just continue the same way, pass it out, and whatever happens, happens. You get credit for assisting Srila Prabhupada if you do it in that mood. And I think we can judge from the current state of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that the outcome will be positive. Somebody may find this they don't like or that they don't like, but the overall impact that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has had on society worldwide, I don't think anybody can argue that it's not positive. It's extremely positive, even from a materialistic point of view. People who were addicted to drugs and all kinds of bad habits have given them up voluntarily in a very short period of time. I know myself was a test case as a college student. When I got my first pamphlet, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, I was doing everything under the sun, breaking all principles. But as soon as I read that, I don't recall a struggle. Seriously, I don't recall. I was smoking a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. I don't recall a struggle. Just some or other, magically, by really appreciating what Prabhupada wrote in that one little pamphlet and starting to associate with the devotees and eating prasadam, all those bad habits just literally just kind of melted away like that. So this is the potency of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. It has a positive effect on society on every level, intellectually, sociologically, every way possible. It's positive. So just keep pushing on this positive movement, and your future is bright, and the future of the world, at least those who take to it, will be very, very bright. Thank you very much. We'll stop here if there are a few questions or comments. Yes, Maharaj.
You mentioned that at the time of initiation, one becomes liberated. So we understand that generally four kinds of pious people approach Krishna who are not liberated. So what is the what kind of liberation do you achieve magically just by taking initiation? Do you go from the one of the four kinds of
Yes, well, Prabhupada's point was that at the moment of initiation, because you've made those vows and the spiritual master has agreed to accept you, your karmic reactions are done. You're actually free. But because we are not conscious of that, we maintain a mentality that's not favorable to that freedom. Like you mentioned, the four pious types that come. So the person who's inquisitive, who came out of just being inquisitive, once that inquisitiveness is satisfied to a certain level, then they are again looking outside what to do, where to go. They're not realizing the gift that they've been given. The person who came because they were in distress, when that distress is relieved, again they're looking outside to go chasing after illusory happiness. So the point is that, yes, at the point of initiation, the spiritual master has liberated you. But because you remain covered and not taking advantage of that gift that's been given, then you again do things that keep you bound up to this material world.
What is the difference? someone who's liberated then and someone who's not liberated?
Liberation means, as it's stated in the Bhagavatam, the situation of the living entity after giving up the gross and subtle material bodies. In other words, you're existing in your original spiritual form. So that original spiritual form is always there. And the connection that keeps us in this material world is our desire. So at the point of initiation, the spiritual master, our desire and the fact that we have karmic reactions, as is stated in today's purport. By your karmic reactions, you can go up to the higher planetary systems, but then again, you'll come down. But by being spiritually liberated, you're supposed to go back to the spiritual world. And it will happen eventually when we wake up. It could happen immediately, though, if we would take advantage and be fully awake at that point after being initiated. But again, unfortunately, because we're conditioned, we don't take advantage of that. So we allow our conditioning to again get us involved in things that are not favorable to getting out of here. Maybe you'd like to add something, Maharaj. Yeah, and even beyond nishtha, you know from the story of Bharat Maharaj, you can get to this point of bhava and still fall down. So yes, fall down is possible. But I think Prabhupada's point in this lecture, he was emphasizing that liberation in terms of deathlessness, that you can, again, acquire the platform of deathlessness, which is your birthright as a living entity, by being initiated. And in today's purport, he was pointing out that you can achieve the goal of life without taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. So the bona fide spiritual master is there to bring us back to this point of deathlessness. And if we take advantage of that, then why would we not take advantage of that? Yes, one has to be trained to act properly so that we don't again contaminate ourselves, that we don't again engage in activities that are not favorable to devotional success. But Prabhupada's point in this particular lecture was that at that point of initiation, your liberation, your deathlessness has been cemented. Now just don't do something foolish to, again, have to take another birth. That's the point he was making. It was more about deathlessness than being on the platform where you're seeing Krishna eye to eye and, you know, talking to Krishna and walking with Krishna. Prabhupada was emphasizing deathlessness in that particular class. That the spiritual master has given you deathlessness by accepting you at the point of initiation. And if you just maintain the vows, then you'll find at the end of this life, you're going to be, you know, promoted. Unfortunately, though, because of conditioning, quite often we take initiation and we don't stick to the vows and we again run after a mirage of happiness in the material world. So by hearing this 14th chapter of the 5th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, any sane person will be convinced that, yes, there is no happiness here in this material world. I'm simply surrounded by foxes and jackals and tigers and owls and rakshasas. And let me just be serious about getting out. Okay? All right. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes?
I would like to ask something about the modes of material nature, especially for the living beings, actually for the people in Kali Yuga. Can we also spiritually liberated in other modes, like in a passion or in a ignorance, or you have to be in the mode of goodness to be spiritually liberated in Kali Yuga regarding to a human being?
Yeah. Yes, okay, very good question. Normally, we are being, what's the word, encouraged to come out of passion and ignorance and come to those five verses from the first canto, starting with Srinivatam Sokata Krishna. So you get to Tadara Jastamo Bhavo Kamalo Padayasya. Hey, we're being exhorted to give up the lower modes, especially passion and ignorance, greed, lustiness, like that, and come at least to the mode of goodness, because from the mode of goodness one can see things clearly and be convinced to act properly at every moment. But Krishna is powerful, and Krishna is also merciful, so Krishna can liberate one from any platform of life. For instance, Krishna, in different forms, as Lord Ramachandra, as Lord Chaitanya, has liberated animals. Animals are generally not in the mode of goodness. There's that animal, dog, that Sivananda Sen took on pilgrimage, and then when they got to Puri, the dog had disappeared, and when they got to Puri, they saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating coconut pulp, chewing it and throwing it to the dog, and the dog was eating it. And then that dog became liberated. So normally dogs are not in the mode of goodness. Any animal is in the lower modes of life. So one can be liberated from even the lower modes. As an animal, as a tree even, there have been instances of hugging a tree and a tree going back to Vaikuntha. Because the living entity is by nature pure. We're simply covered with different degrees of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And at any moment, by the will of the Lord, those coverings can be removed. And the pure living entity can again resume their pure existence. But we shouldn't count on that. Better to follow the recommendation of consciously giving up the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and at least coming to the mode of goodness, the brahminical platform, from which one can have an easier step to the Vishuddha Sattva, the pure existence of life. Because again, in the mode of goodness, one can understand this knowledge. Technically, this Vedic knowledge is supposed to be only for brahmanas. Only those who are brahmanas can touch the Vedas. If you're not a brahmana, mulecha yavana, what to speak of, you cannot touch the Vedas. But the mercy, by the mercy of the pure Vaishnava Srila Prabhupada, he's making it available for everyone. He's not saying, first of all, come to the mode of goodness and then start reading Bhagavad Gita. No, immediately you can read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's so purifying, especially when you add the chanting of Hare Krishna to that reading, then gradually one becomes pure. But it takes time. And sometimes it's very evident. Once on a morning walk in Los Angeles, some devotees were saying to Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when we preach this philosophy to people, especially when we mention the principles, they get, they're turned off. And Prabhupada immediately slammed his cane and said, why are you upset? Why are you surprised? You're preaching to cats and dogs. He said, you make them fortunate by giving them this Hare Krishna mantra, by giving them prasadam. That's why we stress so much the chanting. That's why Prabhupada wanted everybody, go out and chant in the streets. It's good for you and it's good for the people who will hear. So we go out on the, we were discussing yesterday, you and I. Yeah, that's one of the, that's when you make the conscious step of becoming a devotee, when you decide to go out on Harinam. That's a very conscious statement. Now I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. Because you may run into some friends from school, from work, from wherever. But now you're making a conscious statement. I am a Hare Krishna. I'm wearing tilak, I'm wearing the robes, and I'm chanting in the street. This is when you really become a Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada wanted that. He told us, even those of us who were working at the press at the time, it was ISKCON Press, he said, yes, this is very important work, but I want you to stop and go and chant in the streets, occasionally at least. He wanted us, it's very important, this Harinam going on. And so, you know, we have to consciously make that break from our old selves, from the society around us, and consciously join the society of devotees. Take advantage of that. Okay, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go back to Brinda Ki Jai.